This is Jordan Seculo. Is Donald Trump's campaign in trouble? And ISIS has infiltrated the D.C. police.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Yesterday morning, we led first read with the phrase that used the word unraveling. Donald Trump's campaign appears to be unraveling before our eyes, particularly his relationship with the Republican Party. That was 24 hours ago. That was before he went out of his way to not endorse John McCain, before he went out of his way to not endorse Paul Ryan, before he went out of his way to go after Kelly Ayotte. Never mind whatever that interview was with the Washington Post.
He ends the day attacking Paul Ryan, John McCain, and Kelly Ayotte, one of the most popular people in the party,
right,
who's fighting for her life in a state Republicans need to win, right? So what does the Republican Party do today, John?
I really don't know, Joe. We talked about it before. You know, as I said earlier, I think he's gone from now the chaos candidate to the kamikaze candidate. There's no other way to kind of describe it.
Yes, I think the Republican nominee is unfit to serve as president. I said so last week, and he keeps on proving it.
I think he's the worst president maybe in the history of our country. I think he's been a disaster. He's been weak. He's been ineffective. You look at this so-called recovery, it's setting record lows. It's, I guess, not since 1949 has there been anything like it. You look at home ownership. Look at what happened as an example. He talks about Ukraine. I believe I know far more about foreign policy than he knows.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
A Washington, D.C. Metro Transit Authority police officer has been charged with attempting to provide material support to ISIS. He is the first law enforcement officer arrested on ISIS-related charges.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hi, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And we're going to get into politics today because there are so many news reports that got to the point where now Trump's campaign, multiple people in his campaign are putting out statements because of so many news reports about the campaign unraveling, that it's the RNC chair is apoplectic, that he is so upset with Donald Trump's decision not to endorse Paul Ryan or John McCain, both who have endorsed, by the way, Donald Trump. They did endorse Donald Trump, and he's not endorsing them. And could they withdraw their support? Could the RNC withdraw its support? I mean, there's a lot of speculation here. There was even talk of, is Donald Trump setting up potentially a withdrawal because he's been saying, you know, it'll all be rigged. It's all going to be fake anyways. Right. So we want to take your phone calls. I want to hear, too, from those of you who are Trump supporters. Do you think this is a news cycle story, or do you think this is real? I tend to believe that there's a lot of turmoil at the campaign. You know, you don't want to put too much speculation into rumors, but this has moved past that point. So we want to hear from you, those who are Trump supporters especially. How serious of a problem do you think the campaign, the Trump campaign, is facing right now? Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. And a couple of other breaking news items as well. You've got a situation, this is just developing, so there's not a lot of info, but the first law enforcement officer in America charged with aiding and abetting the Islamic State, ISIS. And it's a law enforcement officer in our nation's capital, works for the Metro Police, the Transportation Police. It will be the first law enforcement official in the U.S. to be charged with aiding ISIS. That's about all the info we know now. And there's this information coming out about the $400 million for the Iranian hostages, including Saeed Abedini, and their release. We will explain that in a bit. There's been some outrage, I think rightly so, about the strategy that the administration took to get ultimately those individuals, including Saeed Abedini, released. We thought he should be released before the nuclear deal. This money was tied to that. So that's, and the administration's explaining that that way. And remember, we opened up $1.7 billion to Iran. So we'll cover all of this. We'll take your phone calls. We've got lots of sound bites to play. 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, we're still offering that movie too as well, Abortion Inc.
That's right. It's available right now at ACLJ.org. Just make a donation of $5 or more. You'll get an email with a link and a code. And it's how you redeem the film. It tells you how to do it right there. Really easy. Again, just $5 donation or more. You'll get an email immediately after donating. We are broadcasting right now on Facebook, Periscope, and at ACLJ.org live video, as well as you can get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope, because lines are jammed right now. But as they open up, phone line is 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And there's no better way for you to stand alongside the ACLJ than by becoming an ACLJ member. This is such a critical time for our country. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, the battle is only intensifying when it comes to protecting human life. The ACLJ has just released a new documentary, Abortion Inc., which exposes the distortions of the abortion industry for what they are. This film strips away the abortion lobby's polished talking points and reveals its true motivations, its $1.3 billion annual revenue stream. Become an ACLJ member today and find out how you can view this powerful pro-life documentary. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. To cover a couple of other topics, and we're going to focus on politics and specifically the Trump campaign. Just a bit of breaking news if you're just joining us. One, the first law enforcement officer in America has been charged with aiding and abetting ISIS, the Islamic State. It happens to be a law enforcement officer in Washington, D.C. with their transportation police, Metro Police, what's called in Washington, D.C. That's all the information we have now, that it was economic in nature, the support for ISIS, sending money to ISIS. That has been breaking this morning. Also, news about how there were $400 million or in different kinds of currency flown to Iran at the same time the prisoners were released, the Iranian, what we call hostages, including Christian pastor Saeed Abedini. What we do want to make clear for everybody there is you can disagree with this administration's strategy with Iran, and we certainly have, that was all tied to part of the nuclear deal, that those release of the prisoners, the money, was all part of the nuclear deal. So that was $400 million of the $1.7 billion that President Obama had already announced. They just hadn't made it public how the disbursements would come out. That $1.7 billion, by the way, including the $400 million for, that's reported was, you know, in timed with the hostage release, which, again, can set a bad precedent for ransoms. But just to let you know, that was Iran's money frozen in bank accounts since the revolution in 1979. So it wasn't new money that the U.S. was giving over. It was part of the so-called nuclear deal, which we've strongly disagreed with. So we're not defending this at all, but I just want to explain it to people to get past the headlines. I want to focus right now on Donald Trump. Sure. And Logan, you know, focusing on the media side, and we'll talk to Than as well on the D.C. Republican side. But first, it's not just the internal campaign that seems to be unraveling. We're hearing news reports of Kyle Chaney at Politico saying there's a lot of chatter about this tonight. What's he talking about? Filing a vacant GOP nomination. And there's actually puts the GOP rules in his tweet that they could actually have no nominee. Even at this point, they could back away from Donald Trump. Katie Turd, NBC, says that Rince Priebus, the RNC chair, is apoplectic over Trump's refusal to back Paul Ryan. He's called several Trump staffers to express his displeasure. So this is all leaking out. Another is, I think even more clear, is this CNN report where you've got Donald Trump's aides, so a lot of leaks coming out, saying how they're frustrated with him, and got to the point where, Logan, Donald Trump's own campaign manager, campaign chief, has had to address this on television, but also Donald Trump tweeted it out. So I always know from working on three presidential campaigns, you can respond, when you actually do respond to these kind of stories, there's a bit of truth to them. It means that there is some unraveling. There is some problems. It doesn't mean it's all over, but it means that the problems are real, because you would totally ignore it if not. And what Donald Trump tweeted this morning was, there's great unity in my campaign, perhaps greater than ever before. I want to thank everyone for your tremendous support. Beat Crooked H, beat Crooked Hillary. But Logan, I want your opinion on this as well.
Yeah, I see this right now. I'm watching Periscope and Facebook. I think people are deeply concerned over the tactics of not just, like you said, the internal of what's going on in the Trump campaign, but also the external, what's happening publicly. It is like it's unraveling, and that it, you know, people are putting these speculations of, you know, everyone always joked around, did he ever actually want to be the nominee, and then he got it. Well, I always actually thought he did. I always thought that was a false narrative. But, you know, people are saying, is this something where he's throwing it? Is he saying stuff out there to essentially make sure he loses, or at this point be able to cause something where he says it's rigged, the system, it broke down, because he doesn't want to do it. If it's not that.
Or spend the money.
That's
another part of this. He's not been great at fundraising. He is now fundraising. I think people have a tough time giving to him because, one, he's not the typical candidate going around the country hosting fundraisers at people's homes. But second, he plays off as he's got so much money that, does he really need my $2,000 donation?
Right.
So he will have to make this decision to really spend, because Hillary Clinton's campaign is going to be spending close to $1 billion.
Right. When you see a 10-point swing happen after the DNC, which is kind of normal, but we're not running any. No, yeah, he got a 3 or 4 point bump.
A few pumps.
I mean, it was a bump. He went above her, but that was first time for a while. But still, and then he's doing stuff that is just plain bizarre. And I don't know if you saw this morning. We kind of went around my internet, especially some of y'all young parents who are on my social media account. He was doing, I believe, it was just a campaign rally, a campaign stop?
Yeah, in Virginia.
In Virginia. And take a listen to what happens here, folks. We have the clip. And this is, again, he's speaking, and you can hear there's a baby crying in the background, as there often is at these kind of rallies, because people are very passionate, bring their kids out. They want their pictures with their candidate to say, look, you were here, this historic moment. And take a listen.
Don't worry about that baby. I love babies, so... I love babies. I hear that baby crying. I like it. What a baby. What a beautiful baby. Don't worry. It's young and beautiful and healthy, and that's what we want. Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here. That's all right. Don't worry. I think she really believed me that I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking.
Just so you know, that was two clips several minutes apart. So the first clip was this... You know, kind of honestly,
sounds like a normal politician kind of statement.
Kind of
I love babies.
Sweet statement, like a dad statement. Like, look, like it's like me. Like, I don't complain about babies crying on the plane because I've been there before. I kind of loved that. I was like, that's such a cool thing. Like, he became a real person for a second, and then completely walked it back a minute later to the point where you're kicking someone out of your campaign stop because they have a crying baby and making them out to be like it. Like, I don't know, really to belittle them from stage.
And honestly, I think this would even be making more news if his campaign wasn't appearing to be completely unraveling as we speak, and these, you know, throwing out terms like rigged over and over, which is what losers do, like Bernie Sanders, do when they realize that they may have a very difficult time winning. But I honestly, Logan, when I hear that, and especially that second part, which again, this is from the event, it sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch mocking Donald Trump. Like,
because the first part, he isn't joking. The tone in that isn't, haha, I love this baby, get her out. It's a sweet moment, and then he gets annoyed.
Yeah, he can't take it.
It clicks in his brain.
We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's get to one of those.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's try to find one that works. Let's go to Michelle in Atlanta. You're on the air.
Hi, Michelle.
Yes, hello.
You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah. I just had a question regarding the presidential election. I just looked at the Democratic and the Republican party. The Republicans believe in marriage between a man and a woman, and they believe in pro-life. Mm-hmm. The Democrats believe in pro-choice in the LGBT community.
Yeah, we've been and pretty clear about that throughout the last... Now, I think there's been a little bit of a change, I will say, in the LGBT and Q community. As well, the Republicans had their first openly gay speaker at the RNC convention. But certainly we've talked about those very clear differences in the platform, which, by the way, the candidates themselves are not beholden to. So no Republican is beholden to everything in the platform. No Democrat is beholden to everything in the platform. But, Michelle, do you have a question?
Yes, and just to find out, with Donald and his taxes and the way that he has name called other presidential candidates and just bashing other presidential candidates and Hillary with her email.
Yo, I know. It's a tough time, Michelle. It's a tough time.
Yeah, for everybody.
But honestly, the focus we have today is not on Hillary, because this is the focus is on Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And he was trying to unify it. He finally got the endorsement, Donald Trump did, of the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who's a popular Republican. And Than, I want to go to you because I believe, and this is again, unless Donald Trump really has some moment where he makes amends, and that does not seem to be his style, that we could see mass unendorsements of Donald Trump from the major political leaders in our country who ultimately did decide to endorse him, the top Republicans, that they will back away completely. And even potentially the RNC make a decision not to spend any money on his behalf if this continues.
It's a very real possibility at this point, Jordan, but it would be Donald Trump that would be initiating that, because remember, the focus of his attacks this week have been on Paul Ryan and John McCain and Kelly Ayotte, members of his own party, at least Speaker Ryan of which, Jordan, has endorsed Donald Trump. It did take some time, but the last thing that you would expect after an endorsement from the Speaker to the presidential candidate would be this kind of attack back on the Speaker and even favorable comments to his primary challenger. So I think you're very likely to see a circling of the wagons in Washington, D.C. in defense of the Speaker, in defense of John McCain, in defense of Kelly Ayotte. I think initially, Jordan, it will probably come from those who have been critical of Donald Trump initially. But if it continues, I do think that it could carry further. And it goes to the point you were just making with Logan. If Donald Trump is going to win in November, it's very clear the support that he needs. He has locked down the anti-establishment support.
Yeah,
he now needs support of those who are in favor of John McCain and in favor of Kelly Ayotte and in favor of Speaker Ryan. He should be going after Hillary Clinton, not those three officials.
Yeah, I mean, being in spats with fellow Republicans months out before the general election is not where you want to be. To be fair, the Trump campaign put out an official statement. Now, Paul Manafort, the campaign chair, has been on television today responding to these criticisms that he may be on his way out. The second Trump campaign manager could be on his way out. He said that's not the case. The Trump campaign, one of their communications people, Jason Miller, who I'm not that familiar with but is officially with the campaign, put out a statement saying that the talking points from Brooklyn, that means that they're saying this is all just from the Clinton campaign, sent to you are no good. The idea that Paul Manafort's mailing it in, which is what the news reports, is that he's basically said, I can't deal with Donald Trump. I can't handle Donald Trump. I can't manage this as you're supposed to do as a campaign manager, not taking advice from me. So just mailing it in is kind of the phrase to use. But they're saying that's not true and erroneous, that our campaign is just finished up our strongest month of fundraising to date. We're adding talented and experienced staff on a daily basis, and Mr. Trump's crowds are turning out bigger, more enthusiastic than Hillary Clinton ever could. That's their statement. We'll take more of your comments when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. Agree or disagree? We're trying to report the news on here on Jay Sekulow Live. Remember, Abortion Inc. available at ACLJ.org with a $5 donation. Full-length feature documentary, Abortion Inc. We'll be right back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And there's no better way for you to stand alongside the ACLJ than by becoming an ACLJ member. This is such a critical time for our country. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, the battle is only intensifying when it comes to protecting human life. The ACLJ has just released a new documentary, Abortion Inc., which exposes the distortions of the abortion industry for what they are. This film strips away the abortion lobby's polished talking points and reveals its true motivations. Its $1.3 billion annual revenue stream. Become an ACLJ member today and find out how you can view this powerful pro-life documentary. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org.
The focus on Donald Trump's campaign today, and as someone who has worked on three presidential campaigns, one winning, a couple of that lost, so I've been on both sides of this, there is a lot of turmoil inside campaigns. Usually you manage that as much as possible. It's why you don't typically see a lot of former campaign staffers, even if they are let go, coming out and making statements anything but positive about who they work for. They usually have agreements where they can't join another campaign while if it's a primary or something like that. So there's always turmoil, especially at the top, and change in strategies. But this has reached a different kind of level. And I say that because it's not just the liberal media, though it's certainly they love this. I think Chuck Todd and those folks, they love what's happening to the Trump campaign. But the Trump campaign itself having to respond. Once Donald Trump's tweeting about it, it is something, and Paul Manafort's going on television about it, their communications director sending out statements about it. It's something we have to discuss on the air, especially because we know that this election is so important to so many of you who are listening right now. I want to play Chuck Todd talking about what is happening right now inside the Republican Party. It is, I believe it's Byte 17.
Yesterday morning, we led first read with the phrase that used the word unraveling. Donald Trump's campaign appears to be unraveling before our eyes, particularly his relationship with the Republican Party. That was 24 hours ago. That was before he went out of his way to not endorse John McCain, before he went out of his way to not endorse Paul Ryan, before he went out of his way to go after Kelly Ayotte. Never mind whatever that interview was with the Washington Post.
The Washington Post interview was the one where Donald Trump said Paul with the Paul Ryan endorsement, he's just not there yet, which is something similar to what Paul Ryan said about Trump months ago. And ultimately, he gave a full endorsement of Donald Trump. He said he disagrees with some of his statements, but he gave a full endorsement. And so Donald Trump going back in time and trying to use Paul Ryan's own words, which was the time when most Republicans were still trying to figure out who they would endorse. And ultimately, he did. Paul Ryan did. So that's the statement. But Than, so we're getting these reports about the seriousness of this trouble that the Trump campaign is facing, and Donald Trump calling the election rigged before it's even happened, which is, I don't think is ever a good sign. It did not work for Bernie Sanders to use that. I mean, people may have liked Bernie Sanders. He had his core support, but calling everything rigged, when in truth, you just have to win. Someone wins, someone loses. It will be very close, unless this continues, by the way, folks. It may not be as close. But let me ask you, Than, there are reports out that the Republican Party, if they are as upset as these news reports are saying, and that all these unendorsements, we'll call them that, you know, if they start trickling in from not just those who have been critical of Trump, but the Paul Ryans, the McConnells, there is a rule number nine in the Republican rules, and I want you to explain it to people, where the GOP may not be able to replace the nominee, but could, or ultimately just not back them at all.
Yeah, essentially, Jordan, it would only occur if the nominee himself either stepped down or was unable to continue. And I think probably the only way that would happen for Donald Trump is if he looked at all of the unendorsements, maybe a possibility of cratering support, and decided that he couldn't win. But let's just say, hypothetically, Donald Trump did take himself out of the race. Again, I'm not saying that's likely to happen, but if it did, rule number nine under the RNC rules, these are the same set of rules that we talked about earlier in the process when we thought there might be a broker convention. In fact, these are the first part of the rules that usually don't change convention to convention. It does set up a scenario where if the candidate removes himself, that candidate can be replaced. Now, it needs to happen early enough, most people say by about mid-September, in order for names to actually be replaced on the ballots in all 50 states. But it would then go down to RNC officials from all of the states to then cast a new election, not among voters, but among the RNC members, a majority of which is required to replace the candidate on the ballot. It would likely be a name that we all know, maybe someone that had run for president, but it is possible for Donald Trump's name to be replaced if for some reason he were to come off the ballot.
I think that's the most extreme things could get. I think the more likely is just people unendorsing. And I don't say this lightly. This is not lightly when you're talking presidential politics. So I don't think any of them will make those decisions lightly. I think Donald Trump's got about 24 hours to get this ship righted, or people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, the list goes on, are just going to say, you know what, John McCain, they're back and they're going to focus on their own campaigns and getting other Republicans elected. They're not going to be on the campaign trail. They're not going to, and they no longer support Donald Trump for president. I mean, it could go to that point. I think that is much more likely than a full withdrawal and a vacancy by the GOP. But we're trying to give you the extremes, and I think more likely you'll see a string of unendorsements unless Donald Trump, the ultimate deal maker, can figure this out. I would not put that past him at this point, but that hasn't so far happened in the past. Let's get to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Greg in California on line five. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. You know, if I were Trump, I'd be a little bit upset, too, because it seems like this whole flap or friction started happening after the Khan issue. And his response to what the Khan said at the DNC, I don't think was extreme. I think he was respectful of them. And everyone started, on the Republican side, started leaving him. They weren't giving him any support.
Well, Greg, I'd say this. Of course, you know, he was attacked by the family of the fallen soldier. And no one wants to criticize, and ever would, those brave men and women who make the ultimate sacrifice regardless of their faith. But he wasn't able to speak because he lost his life fighting in Iraq for our country. His parents, who disagree with Donald Trump, politicized it. Donald Trump should probably not have said that he also has made sacrifices in his life, because no sacrifice equals making that ultimate sacrifice. So you don't compare. And it did come across that way. And then second, I think he could have made it very clear that he's, of course, supports Muslim Americans who want to voluntarily serve our country. That has nothing to do with the bans he's talked about or the refugee holds he's talked about. Those are all people from outside the country. I just don't think it was explained very well, honestly, Greg. I think that some of this is Donald Trump's own fault, because it's just not coming across clearly. When he's got the opportunities to make it clear so that it would be, yeah, this is just partisan politics, liberals versus Republicans, he kind of makes it a step worse and makes everybody a bit uncomfortable. I think that is the issue. It's kind of how he handles those situations, if you will.
Yep, exactly. All right, we only have about 2 minutes left. We can probably take one quick call.
Let's do it.
Let's go to Janet in Newport Beach, kind of on the other end. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm very frustrated. I feel like he's self-sabotaging. I also feel like he doesn't stick on point. When he was accused of treason, there's so much material out there from Obama telling Medvedev that he could help him once he's reelected, the uranium
with
the Clintons. I mean, there's one thing after the other. The facts speak for themselves. He's getting off point. He takes these. Yeah. He gives that hominid attack.
Yeah, he takes the bait. And Janet, I'm only jumping in because we got a minute left. I think you made a great point, really important point. Remember all of those sound bites between President Obama and the former president of Russia, who is now the prime minister again because Putin, he just made the switch. Oh, things will get better with us. You know, we'll handle this. And the statements he's made to other world leaders like that. And yet it's Donald Trump who's being told, oh, he's the one with the Russians. Yet there's no evidence whatsoever. There was a one Miss Universe pageant there. No Trump buildings. He even said he decided not to move forward, though they wanted to. Let me play this. We got the time for it. This is Donald Trump's, to be fair, in this first half hour, campaign manager on Fox News just moments ago. Take a listen. Paul Manafort, Byte 33.
There's another report out there, and I want to get your comment on this, that there is to be some kind of a campaign intervention this weekend, that people like Rudy Giuliani and possibly Newt Gingrich and you and the Trump children are going to sit down with your candidate and try to refocus the campaign and direct fire at Hillary Clinton instead of fellow Republicans like Paul Ryan. Is that going to happen?
This is the first I'm hearing of that. The campaign is focused, and the campaign is moving forward in a positive way. The only need we have for an intervention is maybe with some media types who keep saying things that aren't true.
All right, guys, we'll be right back with more. Jay Sekulow Live, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And there's no better way for you to stand alongside the ACLJ than by becoming an ACLJ member. The ACLJ has just released a new documentary, Abortion Inc., which exposes the distortions of the abortion industry for what they are. Become an ACLJ member today and find out how you can view this powerful pro-life documentary. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org.
Talking about freedom. We will fight for the right.
the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. If you are just joining us and maybe you are listening on your local radio station that carries the full broadcast, or Sirius XM, which carries the full broadcast, or watching online through Facebook and Periscope, it's great to have you. Get your comments in through Facebook and Periscope, or phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've been focusing today, and we weren't planning to, but there's so much news on the Trump campaign to the point now where his own campaign chief Donald Trump himself, with his tweets, has had to respond to reports that inside the campaign. So people are leaking. That's where he's got a real problem. We didn't even get to this the first half. He's got a real problem with his staff. His staff is going to the media, and he's had some trouble with that before, internal conflict because of who's close to Trump. But the media is not just making this up. They are hearing this from staff. In fact, I mean, you've got one tweet, and there was a CNN article about just how frustrated all of the aides are. But take this. This is from Brian Stelter from CNN, who is their media reporter. He's not, he's not a political reporter. He reports on media. Mm-hmm. He tweeted out, "The Trump campaign is leaking like a sieve." And here's why the Trump. So they're actually hearing this from inside the campaign. Because Donald Trump refused to endorse Paul Ryan and John McCain, because he attacked the Gold Star parents, because he suggested that women should quit their job if they're sexually harassed instead of do something about it and fight back, because he was confused about whether Russia is in Ukraine and called on Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's emails, which, by the way, I said on the show, I absolutely took that as that one I actually did take as a joke.
Yes, absolutely.
And I would say this to people. Remember, I pointed out last week, it was earlier this week, when President Obama at a news conference with the Prime Minister of Singapore took a big swipe at Donald Trump, calling him unfit to serve. And I again, was defending Donald Trump there, and that was not right for the president to use that. If he wants to go out on the campaign trail and say that and disagree with Donald Trump policies, of course he's going to do that. He's a liberal. He's a Democrat. He's going to support Hillary Clinton. But to do that at a press conference at the White House with another world leader was not right. So we've been very fair about this, but I think it all must be addressed. It's at a point where the campaign itself is addressing it also. Let me go to Than Bennett. Than, the seriousness of this in Washington, D.C., we can't put words in politicians' mouths or leaders in their mouths, but I could imagine a Paul Ryan at this point who's facing a primary challenger that supports Trump. Now, Trump hasn't endorsed his primary challenger, but with this move by Donald Trump, I could imagine if things don't get repaired quickly, people like Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and others unendorsing Donald Trump.
Yeah, I can very much envision that, too. And, Jordan, I think the first wave would probably actually not be leadership. It would probably be people that do the bidding of the leadership that would unendorse, and then maybe the leaders to follow. But listen, let's just make a cold political calculation on behalf of Donald Trump from here. Does he need the vote of Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell or John McCain or any other elected official? No, he doesn't. But what he does need, and part of this is, I think, what's causing the frustration by those campaign staffers. He needs local infrastructure on the ground, especially in all these Republican counties and Republican districts, in order to win in November. And the way you get that is you have the infrastructure of the candidates who have run in those districts time and time again also parrot your message when they are running for re-election. So if you start to see a wave of unelections, you might think, no big deal, no big deal if Speaker Ryan doesn't vote for him. That is absolutely not true, because Donald Trump, if he's going to win in November, he has to have the infrastructure of all of those candidates. That is sort of the trickle-down effect. If you do start seeing unendorsements, it's something that he just can't afford politically, and that's just the political truth of it all.
Yeah, Jonathan Carl from ABC and Rick Klein from ABC News are reporting, and these are folks, serious political reporters, may not always agree with them, but they're just, I think, reporting facts that Rince Priebus is, quote, furious, the chairman of the RNC, and that senior GOP officials are, quote, actively exploring how to replace Trump on the ballot if he drops out. I mean, folks, they can't make that up. You can't make this up. The question is, how likely is that? I think that's fairly unlikely that he drops out. How likely is it that people start unendorsing? I think that is fairly likely. We'll take your calls. Both sides of this. We're just trying to report the news here on this campaign. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. If you're a supporter of Trump, if you're not, or if you're now questioning your support, 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, we've got our documentary, Abortion Inc.
That's right. With a minimum donation of $5 at ACLJ.org, the film is yours. You get a code, you redeem it, and you watch the film immediately. Be right back with more with Jay Sekulow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And there's no better way for you to stand alongside the ACLJ than by becoming an ACLJ member. This is such a critical time for our country. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, the battle is only intensifying when it comes to protecting human life. The ACLJ has just released a new documentary, Abortion Inc., which exposes the distortions of the abortion industry for what they are. This film strips away the abortion lobby's polished talking points and reveals its true motivations, its $1.3 billion annual revenue stream. Become an ACLJ member today and find out how you can view this powerful pro-life documentary. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We've talked about a couple breaking news items. First of all, the first law enforcement official in the United States to be charged with aiding and abetting ISIS. Happens to be a law enforcement official in Washington, D.C., works at the Transit Police. That's called Metro Police in D.C. It was financial aid and support to ISIS. So that's about all the news there, but pretty scary, again, because that is the first law enforcement official in the U.S., someone who's armed, you know, and carries the badge. Who is actually sending money to ISIS, actively engaged in aiding and abetting the Islamic State. So that news broke. Also news about Iran broke the last time we'll really talk about it today on the broadcast, about $400 million in different kinds of currency, not actually U.S. currency, that were flown into Iran at the same time, basically timed with the release of the four American hostages, who Iran called prisoners, including Saeed Abedini. This was, again, part of the Obama administration's overall nuclear deal. You have to remember that part of that nuclear deal was releasing $1.7 billion of Iran's money that was frozen after their Islamic revolution in 1979. That money was frozen in kind of arbitration in Switzerland. And part of the nuclear deal, which we, of course, have opposed vigorously, we believe it's very dangerous to Israel, very dangerous to the world, including the United States, because it puts Iran on a path to the nuclear weapon. Part of that deal was unfreezing $1.7 billion. That $400 million that was transferred into Iran at the same time the prisoners were released is from that 1.7. So it wasn't like the U.S. government spent $400 million of its own money. This was money frozen internationally that the U.S. allowed to be given back to Iran. Not saying we agreed at all with the administration's strategy on their to getting Saeed and the others released, but they are home now. And again, these news reports, I don't want to take away from how grateful we are that they are back and out of the Iranian prison.
That's right. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. A lot of people are calling in. We'll try to open up some lines. Let's go to Amanda in Orange County, California. You're on the air.
Hi. I actually wanted to go back to what you guys were saying about the Republican Party unraveling as well as this campaign internally.
Yep.
I think that's becoming such an issue given that his own handlers are having trouble keeping him on message. And like you had said previously, getting him to stay on point or give him advice and he actually take it, but more so him going out on record and criticizing, you know, McCain and yeah. Paul Ryan is so dangerous because not only is it dangerous for him to actually get elected, But the infrastructure he's going to need once he's in office to get things legislated.
You got to be able to work with people. Amanda, you're right. You got to be able to work with people, especially people who are your own party. You may not agree with them on lots of things. I think that Donald Trump was used to being able to get away with statements. Remember, he made some pretty tough statements about John McCain, heavily criticized, saying, you know, I don't like, he's a war hero, prisoner of war. Oh, I like people who win, not people who are captured or something like that. Yeah. Did that hurt him in the primary? No. Now, he didn't ultimately win Iowa, which is where he made that statement, but he moved on with it. He won the primary easily. So I think he's used to the primary campaign where, you know, attacking the establishment, the John McCain types, even the Paul Ryan types, the Washington, D.C. world, if you will, the Mitch McConnells, may get you enough votes to win the primary. But ultimately, you got to unify because, yes, you've got your anti-establishment vote, but Donald Trump has got to put together a much bigger coalition than that to actually win the presidency of the United States. He's got his core support. That probably gets him to 35%, like kind of how he did in the primaries. Yep. Then you've got to get to the other 15% plus 0-1. And to get there, you've got to have all the registered Republicans who vote in every election. That should be a given that the people who always vote Republican for president will be voting for the Republican nominee. And that's his issue right now. It's not even independents getting over to that next 1%. He's got to get to 50 first. And to get to 50, you got to have the rest of the regular Republican Party has got to be casting their ballots for you.
That's absolutely right. He's going to need a team to govern, but he's going to need a team to get elected to have the opportunity to govern in the first place. And I would say this, let me sort of pitch both sides of it. Donald Trump is the nominee because he was anti-establishment. I am not saying that he should change that. It has worked for him. It's what made him the nominee. He should keep some of that tone. But he has got to understand, if he wants to win the election, Jordan, that he needs the infrastructure of his team of candidates who is also running for their own survival. If a congressman who is very popular in their district and is heading for re-election and is going to be re-elected goes out on the stump and does not also ask people to pull the lever for the nominee that is from that party, that is going to be a very real political problem for Donald Trump. So you don't have to take this as a personal view about Donald Trump or his policies specifically, but this is why there is frustration inside of that campaign. If he's going to be the next president of the United States, Jordan, he has to have the infrastructure of those local candidates, at least most of them, pulling some load for them. And if it goes backwards, if he starts getting an endorsement in large waves, that is going to have a very real political price.
A lot of this started not just with the Gold Star family statements there, but also and the Khan family, but also with Donald Trump starting to say that the system was rigged. And, you know, he talked about that for Bernie Sanders, it was rigged. And, you know, it wasn't rigged. You may not like the rules, but the DNC had the rules out. There's super delegates, there's regular delegates, and this is how you win each delegate. This is how you do it in each state. Very clear. You may not like them, the rules, but it's not rigged. And if you want to change them, you can. And there will be attempts, I think, in the Democrat side to change them. On the Republican side, there have been attempts as well. But the rules are there. They are clear how you win, how you lose. And Donald Trump, though, started a lot of this by then kind of putting it out there that he thinks this election, November, will be rigged. That's a pretty big statement to make when you're talking about a presidential election in the freest country in the world. So if you have that kind of concern, let's listen, because I think this is where a lot of this started is to really unravel by 23.
And I'm telling you, November 8th, we better be careful because that election's going to be rigged. And I hope the Republicans are watching closely or it's going to be taken away from us.
You know, let me tell you this, folks. There's always great efforts by each political party. And the Republican Party, I think, has taken the lead on it when it comes to voter security. Now, there have been some laws which we've supported in states like North Carolina. It's been tough in the courts, stricter. You know, it makes basic sense to most of us that you have to be able to somehow prove your identification to be able to vote. And this time, with all the technology we have, you'd think it would be a bit more simple to do that. But most of those laws have been struck down. So, yes, there are real concerns about voter security, voter ID, and information like that. And that is why there are always teams of attorneys across the country on Election Day and leading up to Election Day ready to file complaints, especially if the election is close. You know, if you're getting blown out one way or the other, you don't see as many complaints. It doesn't mean that there weren't voter irregularities. But to go to the statement of past irregularities and, yes, some wrongdoing to rigged is very different.
Yeah, and I think when you see some of these statements come out, you're right, they rarely are something that would have determined a campaign one way or another, or determined the election one way or another, even if it's thousands of votes, usually not thousands of votes have it. Let's go ahead, though, and take some phone calls. A lot of you guys have been holding, and we appreciate it. Let's go to Priscilla, who's calling California on the con situation. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yeah, okay, I have a couple of things. First, I am a Gold Star mother. My son died in 1995.
We appreciate his service and your family's sacrifice. Yeah. Thank you for calling in.
Yes. I was not offended what Trump said, but my heart feels for the cons, especially sure. for the mother. Now, but that being said, Mr. Khan, I feel, was spewing his religious beliefs on Trump when he called his soul black. That was not right. That offended me more than anything else. And what Trump said regarding her not speaking, yeah. I think he should not have said that, but I'm not offended.
Yeah, and Priscilla, first of all, let me just say, we appreciate so much your family's sacrifice, your son's sacrifice for our country. You could speak to it better than any of us because you are part of that Gold Star families. Let me just say, I agree with you. It's really the response. Yes, the father who politicized his own son's service and his son was not able, passed away. So again, it had nothing to do with his son's service. Doesn't take away anything from that. He politicized it very strongly. Donald Trump, though, is the one, Logan, who's running for president.
Right.
And so his response, which is why I think what Priscilla said about the mother who ultimately was doing interviews, but just said at that kind of stage.
And emotionally handled
it. Too emotional. And the father, listen, it may be that not all great intentions and great motives.
No,
but
it doesn't matter.
The father's not on the ballot, and they got it worked exactly how the campaign wanted it to, the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, because it got Donald Trump into this issue.
Right. I don't think if you guys realize this, I mean, that was exactly what the plan was.
A fight with that family.
To have a fight with a Gold Star family, a family of someone whose service son had passed away on the battlefield, and they did it. They successfully did it. And that's where the Trump campaign, again, folks, not being a biased person one way or the other on this, and I know you look at it that way sometimes. I'm just talking the facts. Media. That's what I do for a living. Media. Jordan's work campaigns. Falling into traps.
Yep, falling into traps. And this is what concerns me, the Supreme Court of the United States. It is at stake in this election. Now, we can't oppose or endorse candidates, but I can tell you the kind of justices that Hillary Clinton would appoint, and it wouldn't be like Merrick Garland that Obama has appointed. It would be more like Justice Kagan and Sotomayor, real liberals. And Donald Trump has put out his list, and pretty good list.
A lot of
conservative judges on there. So this is what concerns me, is that the Supreme Court is at stake. That's a lot more than just one election. Of course, the presidency of the United States and all the battles we've got overseas, the terrorism, radical Islamic terrorism, but also even our own economy and domestic issues. Big, it's a very important job. And it reaches past just 4 or 8 years, but decades, especially when it comes to the United States Supreme Court and the war on terror. We're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Support or oppose what we're saying. We're just trying to get the facts out. I hope that's clear for everybody. 1-800-684-3110. And remember our documentary, Abortion Inc., available online with a $5 donation at aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And there's no better way for you to stand alongside the ACLJ than by becoming an ACLJ member. This is such a critical time for our country. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, the battle is only intensifying when it comes to protecting human life. The ACLJ has just released a new documentary, Abortion Inc., which exposes the distortions of the abortion industry for what they are. This film strips away the abortion lobby's polished talking points and reveals its true motivations. It's $1.3 billion annual revenue stream. Become an ACLJ member today and find out how you can view this powerful pro-life documentary. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're joined by my brother Logan and Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C. I want to start off with Than, and then we're going to do our rapid-fire round and our final segment in today's broadcast and taking your phone calls. Than, the seriousness level, I mean, I just want to be fair to people because, you know, a lot of this, the news likes to put out theories just to have something to talk about. But the serious level, how serious is the trouble the Trump campaign is in with Washington, D.C.? And I say that not in a negative way about Washington, D.C. I mean, the Republican Party, people like Paul Ryan, who came on the stage, and Rince Priebus, who went on stage at the RNC in strongly endorsing Donald Trump. How tough is this situation for the Trump campaign right now?
I think it's pretty serious. I don't think it's insurmountable, Jordan, but I think you said it right when the fact that they are having to come out so directly and address it. I think it is an acknowledgement that it is a serious problem. And in fact, on both of these points, let me just read to you very quickly what Ben Carson, a very ardent Donald Trump supporter, had to say about this. He said, "Hopefully Donald Trump will soon recognize that if you take the bait every time, you'll never have a chance to discuss the real issue." So listen, Donald Trump didn't initiate a lot of this, but he's got to learn to focus on Hillary Clinton rather than take the bait. That's what he has to do to get past this.
Now, Logan, we're going to get to calls, but a lot of people on Facebook and Periscope, not so much our radio callers, but Facebook and Periscope said, oh, if Jay were on, he wouldn't be saying things like this about Donald Trump.
These
so
are his,
guess
these are his
what?
Liberal sons.
We brought him in by
millennials.
Phone. Yeah, we brought him in by phone. My dad's joining us, Jay Sekulow. He is on now by phone to address your Facebook and Periscope
from an undisclosed
concerns.
Location.
Well, we have been talking about this. I've been, just so our radio audience knows, we've been dealing with this since about 6:30 this morning. I've been on the road today and the last couple of days. I'll be back in the studio tomorrow. But we've been dealing with this since 6 o'clock this morning about how to handle this. And, folks, our job as lawyers, as government affairs professionals, as media experts, is to give you the data and what is happening. You could be very much in favor of Donald Trump's campaign. I understand that. Jordan just talked about the Supreme Court. We, of course, cannot legally endorse or oppose any candidate for public office. We just go through the facts. You know how hard we were on Hillary Clinton. I will continue to be hard on Hillary Clinton tomorrow as we relate to this latest email issue that's supposed to come out. But I want to give you some facts here. And one of those facts, and Jordan and Than and Logan have done a very good job of talking about this, is the fact that Donald Trump's campaign, from appearances, is in trouble. And that means they have lost some control of the media messaging. And you could say, well, that's just the liberal media. But let me tell you the problem here, folks. And we're glad we're on conservative talk, and we're glad we're on Christian talk. But if you put that and Fox News all together, that's great, but you're talking to an echo chamber. And to win a presidential election, there's 3 or 4% in the middle, and you've got to go after them too, and the independents. And I think right now the problem is the distraction. And look, I mean, I respect the sacrifice of the con's son, but they did politicize it. I said that. They politicized it by bringing it up during a DNC. I think Donald Trump could have had a better response, which is saying, I respect the work of the son, and not even respond to the parents, not respond to the statement about the Constitution. I don't know what the story with Mr. Khan is, and it doesn't matter. You know what the story that does matter is? There's an election at stake. The Supreme Court hangs in the balance, as well as our national security, and we better figure out where the issues are and how we're going to handle it. And I think those of you that I've been following the Facebook post, folks, so I've been following this on Facebook and listening to callers coming in, I think we've got to deal with fact. And if you want to ignore the fact, that's fine. But if you want to deal with fact, the fact is right now the perception is that Hillary Clinton got a bounce out of her campaign and Donald Trump's bounce has dissipated. And instead of talking about the fact that the economy is in a disaster and that Hillary Clinton lied to Chris Wallace again on Sunday, what are we talking about? What is the entire media having to talk about? Donald Trump's statements. And that's the problem.
And Dad, one thing we talked about with Than as well is that, and you talked about this importance of reaching those key few percent of independent voters, they are the toughest to get, and they are who decides ultimately in a lot of the swing states, the handful of states, the dozen or so states that matter. It's the people who are right in the middle. but that Donald Trump is not focusing his attention there yet because he's still focusing in on Republicans who have already endorsed him. And he's still in fights with Republicans who ultimately, like Paul Ryan, who endorsed him, and yet he won't endorse Paul Ryan back.
Well, that presents a serious problem. Now, look, Paul Ryan, what Paul Ryan got was the fact that Donald Trump, when was clearly going to be the nominee of the party, Donald yep. Trump was told by Paul Ryan, he's not. Paul Ryan said he's not there yet.
We made that clear.
Trump turned it on him a little bit.
But after Paul Ryan ultimately endorsed him at the Republican convention strongly. I mean, so it's kind of like, again, why restart this battle with Republicans? Why not get your Republicans on board and focus, like you said, on reaching out to those key next voters, which everybody knows in a campaign you got to have to win?
Well, and if you don't, you create a real problem for yourself. So the attacking John McCain, and I've had issues where I've disagreed with John McCain, attacking Paul Ryan instead of attacking Hillary Clinton is not a good political strategy, folks. That's what we're trying to tell you. It's not a good, if I'm a lawyer, and I've got to defend a case, I have to go after the witness that the other side has put up and attack the witness, attack that witness. I don't start attacking my witnesses or somebody that's on the side that doesn't matter. So whether you're for John McCain or against John McCain or for Paul Ryan or against Paul Ryan, you know what? Right now, if you're running for president of the United States, that's flack you don't need. You don't need to distract. And when you're doing a case, you've got to be focused like a laser beam. And that's what Donald Trump's lack right now, and people may not like it, but I'm going to say it. His lack of discipline is hurting him. Because whether we like it or not, the media does play a role. It's the fourth rail. Some say the fifth rail.
Right.
And that's the reality.
And I think this, Dad, which we'll see, is that Donald Trump, you know, is the art of the deal, the ultimate deal maker. He could turn it around. He's got about, I think, 24 hours to do so with these guys like Paul Ryan. Or else, I believe, this is Jordan Sekulow's personal opinion, that they will start unendorsing Donald Trump if this is not turned around very quickly.
All right, let's try to take one quick call or a couple quick calls. We'll do our best. Sorry, folks, they're online. If you are on hold and you don't make it to you, we're going to give you a code to watch the movie for free because we had an unexpected guest. But let's go ahead and go to Lisa, who's calling in Washington. You're on the air.
Hello. So in regards to rule number 9 you were talking about earlier, so I know it's worst-case scenario, and if it does happen, would Ted Cruz step up
the rule works, and just to explain to everybody, this is if there is a vacancy at the GOP nominee, because there's also talk, real talk, at the RNC that they're doing everything they can to get Donald Trump off the ballot, and he may have to withdraw, but he's been talking about things being rigged. Maybe it's an economic thing with money being spent. We don't know. That I don't expect. But, Than, does it ultimately go to the number 2, or is it a totally new decision process?
It's a totally new decision process. It is not automatic. It would not automatically be Ted Cruz. It actually, Jordan, does not even have to be somebody who run. It would be totally up to the members of the RNC.
So just to answer that question, Lisa, let's grab another call.
Yeah, we'll take a quick call. Let's go to Charles in Atlanta. Thanks for holding about a half an hour. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Charles. Hold on, and we'll get you the code for Abortion Inc. as well.
But you're on the air.
Okay. You want me to speak now?
Yes, go.
Oh, okay. I just see it like you've been explaining it, and that is Trump is his own worst enemy in the fact that he's so reactionary, and he doesn't realize that the Democrats have a playbook against him. They analyze his personality. They see what he reacts to, and they keep pressing those buttons because they don't want the narrative to be about what Hillary has done. Anything about Hillary, as long as they can keep the news cycle where Trump is always on the defense, defending himself, reacting to everything, then the less it's about Hillary Clinton.
Yep, Charles, and I hate to cut you off because we are running out of time. Even Than said that was a spot-on comment. I think you're absolutely right. They are playing into the narrative. They know exactly how to work this and what's going to get him to react and how that's going to affect public perception. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. The abortion film that we created, full-length documentary, is available right now, Abortion Inc. You can get it at ACLJ.org with a minimum donation of $5 or more. You'll get an email immediately following it. In that email will contain a link, which the film, the website's just abortionmovie.com, and it'll have a code. All you have to do is put it in. You can watch the film immediately. Thanks again for calling. Thanks again for watching. Jason.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we are dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And there's no better way for you to stand alongside the ACLJ than by becoming an ACLJ member. The ACLJ has just released a new documentary, Abortion Inc., which exposes the distortions of the abortion industry for what they are. Become an ACLJ member today and find out how you can view this powerful pro-life documentary. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or go online at ACLJ.org.